Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome to the Michael Cutler Hour. I am your host, Michael Cutler, January the 23rd, 2015. Boy, the year is off to a rocky start. Here we go again. Lots to talk about. I thank you for joining me at the end of the week so we can play that infamous game of catch up, and there's lots to catch up on. Those of you familiar with my program know that I'm a retired senior special agent with what used to be the Immigration and Naturalization Service, an agency that was dissolved and reincarnated under what the government calls the Department of Homeland Security. I've come to call it the Department of Homeland Surrender, ICE, CBP, Citizenship and Immigration Services, all these various, unfortunately, dysfunctional components charged with a very significant mission, that of protecting America and Americans. Not about race, not about religion. Forget the nonsense you're hearing from the open borders, immigration, anarchists. This is simply about protecting America and Americans. It's not about left or right, but about right or wrong. So we will get to that shortly, but to begin with, I want to remind you about some websites I'd very much like you all to go visit. MichaelCutler.net, that's my own personal website, C-U-T-L-E-R, one word, MichaelCutler.net. I'm a senior fellow with a terrific organization known as Californians for Population Stabilization. CAPSWeb.org is their website, C-A-P-S. In fact, I have an important article that I recently wrote for them, another one that's due to be posted shortly. And I want to talk about the one that is currently available on the website, but we'll get to that in a moment. Also, I am a columnist for Front Page Magazine, published by the David Horowitz Freedom Center. Very proud to be one of their columnists. They have an amazing group of folks who write for them, various perspectives, amazing background, Alan Dershowitz, Ann Coulter, you name them. I'm very happy to join them, and I've been doing it for quite some time now as well. Also write for Progressives for Immigration Reform. You know, this, again, as I said, isn't about left or right. Progressives, yeah, they're off on the left, but they're Americans. I'm a registered Democrat. It's not about left or right. It's about right or wrong. And also I write for a quarterly journal known as The Social Contract. And, in fact, we have an article that's coming out within the next couple of weeks that I wrote for The Social Contract. I've been writing for them for years as well, quarterly publication. It's about providing the information that the mainstream media just won't talk about, just absolutely won't talk about. You know, it's remarkable. You get up in the morning and you turn on the networks, and I don't care what morning program you want to talk about. I feel like it's the comedy club. Everyone is yucking it up and all this buffoonery that goes on with all the hard news that we have to deal with. And you know, look, I understand it. I get it. People don't want to wake up and get hit over the head with one disaster after another. But at some point, there's got to be a sense of the fact that these are supposed to be more than just news readers, which seems to be what we get all too often, news readers. We need hard-hitting news, real facts, real truth. My family is kind of hung up on an amazing film that came out in 1976. Those of you old enough to remember way back when, Paddy Chayefsky wrote this amazing screenplay for a movie called Network. all about how, goodness, Kermit the Frog doesn't want to go away. Network was all about how the news media operates. And boy, oh boy, this guy was right on the money. What he said in Network is just as relevant today as it was, hard to believe, just under 40 years ago. Faye Dunaway, who was a real good-looking gal, very exciting actresses in it, William Holden, lots of people who unfortunately are no longer with us. But these are the big names, Robert Duvall. And I got to tell you, I had the privilege of being with Robert Duvall on two separate occasions. On one occasion, I spent an entire day with him. We drove around Washington. We had dinner together. Amazing gentleman. One of the most down-to-earth, decent people I've ever met in any field. And here's a guy so well known throughout the world for his amazing acting skills, very down to earth. Sir Robert De Niro is in the film. I recommend that you go see it. Go to Netflix. It's available for free, my favorite price. And you realize what's going on. And those of you that aren't familiar with networks certainly know that one scene. They've used it for commercials where everyone goes to the window. Let me just grab a sip of tea here, folks, so I can get my voice back. And everyone goes to the window and starts screaming, "I'm mad as hell, I'm not going to take it anymore." And what prompted it was the crazy stuff that was being masqueraded as the news. And compared to where we are today, that was the golden era. Where we are today is unspeakable. I don't care which network. So what we are witnessing are the emergence of new stations, new programming, trying to provide that which everybody knows the American people want. You know, I was watching A Few Good Men with my son last night, and that famous scene in the court martial, Jack Nicholson playing the part of that Colonel Jessup, and he says to Tom Cruise's character, "You can't handle the truth." Very famous scene. And in point of fact, it seems as though the news media has determined to not give us the truth. Not because we can't handle it, but because God only knows we might get mad as hell and not take it anymore. So there's a couple of networks that are trying their best to offer a counterpoint to the madness. I was just on The Blaze TV. The Blaze is an internet program on the Dana Show with Kevin Sorbo filling in. Kevin Sorbo, married to Samantha, or I guess Sam Sorbo. And on Monday mornings, I am a regular guest on Sam's terrific radio show at 9:30 a.m. So it was interesting to be on with Kevin. He plays Hercules in the movies and talk about immigration very frequently. In fact, on Monday at, I think it's 10 a.m., or 11 minutes after 10 on Eastern time, East Coast time, this coming Monday, I'm going to be on J.D. Hayworth's program on Newsmax TV. And that terrific show is called America's Forum. It seems as though I'm on with J.D. perhaps once a week on average. Really wonderful. It's a news program. What a novel thought. You know, no dancing bears, no cooking recipes. It's an honest-to-God news program. They deal with the facts. They deal with the issues of the day. And J.D. Hayworth was a member of Congress. In fact, I met J.D. about 5 weeks after 9/11. I had come to Washington to testify before the Immigration Reform Caucus. J.D. Hayworth was one of the people who were in attendance at that hearing as a member of Congress. So that's how far back we go, to 2001. So I'm going to be on his program with him on Monday talking about sleeper agents. And in fact, that is the latest article that I wrote for Front Page Magazine for the David Horowitz Freedom Center. And we're going to talk about that this evening. And this is one of the reasons I didn't want to have a guest tonight. Last week I had a wonderful guest, a terrific young man. When you get young people on a program or you sit down and have a discussion with some really bright people, you know, it's encouraging to say, well, there is a new generation coming up that is equal to the task. Because I got to tell you, our generation has mucked things up beyond words as far as I'm concerned. Greed and selfishness on a scale that's unimaginable and would have been unimaginable when I was a young man. It's been a long time since I've thought of myself as a young man, though. But, you know, we are dealing with two political parties that I have absolutely no use for. I sometimes feel when I'm talking about the Democrats and Republicans that we could be talking about the Medellin cartel versus the Cali cartel. They almost operate like organized crime groups in competition with one another for the spoils of the crimes that they commit. It's absolutely infuriating, and I suspect that there's a lot of Americans out there who look at the political parties with as much disdain and disgust and frustration and anger as I do. This isn't a news bulletin. And we're not getting the facts from the media because they're into this globalist agenda. They all are. And that was the reason that I wrote my piece about sleepers. But in any event, I'm looking forward to being on with J.D. I've done another program for Newsmax Television, and then on Thursday I'm going to be on One American News Network on yet another program, and that's another new upstart network. I'm going to be on the Rick Amato Show about, I think we're taping, actually. I don't know that we're going to do it live, so I'm not going to give you the time, but I will be taping for the Rick Amato Show this coming Thursday of next week. And I've certainly done quite a few interviews with Graham Ledger for the Daily Ledger, which also airs on One American News Network. And all this proves is that if we can't get what we need from the mainstream media, this being America, there will be new venues that will provide that which the others won't. That's why I believe in competition. That's why I believe in the First Amendment and free enterprise competition. Of course, when you deal with major corporations and the amount of money that they pour into political campaigns, we're not really getting competition. We're getting corporate welfare. Corporate welfare. And I know that there are members of the conservative side of this argument that would argue with me when they say that we have companies that don't pay any corporate income taxes. And boy, I've heard all the arguments. Oh, they create jobs, so we shouldn't be taxing them. And the employees are paying the taxes, so the corporation shouldn't. I don't accept that. I don't think that you drive corporations out of business either. You know, just like I believe in regulation, but the regulations need to make sense. They can't be or shouldn't be contradictory. You shouldn't be trying to fulfill the requirements as an employer to satisfy OSHA and find that you run afoul of EPA or run afoul of the Labor Department. There should be some kind of coordinated effort so that regulations make sense and so that you don't wind up in a no-win situation. And it seems as though that's what happens frequently, because the solutions that most politicians seem to have to anything that goes wrong is to figure out how they can pass a new law. Never mind that there's enough laws on the books for the most part, and all we need to do is figure out ways of enforcing those laws instead of creating illusions about how we're doing a great job and we do bupkis. And that's the topic of my article for CAPS, Californians for Population Stabilization. It's all about creating illusions that don't really correspond to the real world. And these aren't news bulletins for you, but I think that if we start to dissect exactly what I'm talking about, you'll really understand my frustration and why I am in such a constant state of anger over what exactly is being jammed down our throats as Americans. Since the terror attacks in Paris, France, we have been hearing so much in the media about sleeper cells, sleeper agents, describing the thugs that attacked that kosher store and the editorial office. You know, the sleepers, they were there, they'd been overseas, they came back, they were waiting for the phone call. Traditionally, sleeper agents, if you talk about espionage, are generally foreign nationals who enter a country in one way or another, whether they run the border, they stow away on a ship, or they come in with a visa, doesn't matter. The idea is to gain access to that country and wait for a phone call. And while they're waiting for the phone call, they go about their lives. They don't want to call attention to themselves. Somebody once said that an effective spy is somebody who could not attract the attention of a waiter or waitress at a greasy spoon diner. I might even add that they might even get jobs as waiters or waitresses at a greasy spoon diner. Well, you know what? You could say the exact same thing about an effective terrorist. An effective terrorist is somebody who, not unlike that spy, wants to keep a low profile until they're called into action. The day before a terrorist participates in an attack, odds are that that terrorist will go to the job that he or she had, perhaps for weeks, months, maybe even years. You know, the 9/11 terrorists didn't come to the United States on 9/10 and then launch an attack on 9/11. Some of them had been here for a year, and that's what they do. They come in, they set up shop, and they go about their business. They conduct surveillance. They do all these, what I defined or referred to during some of my congressional hearing as preparatory functions. They were preparing to kill us. And then they were called into action. Now, there's a problem with that definition, though, of a sleeper. And I'm going to tell you what the problem is. Because the open borders crowd, and it's not just on the left. I know I hear this all the time from my conservative friends. Oh, the left. You know what? It's both sides of the aisle. It's people who are motivated to do harm to us for their own selfish purposes. And they know that if they use honest language and they put it out on the table and say, this is what we're about, they'd be in deep trouble. You know, the con artist doesn't come up to you and say, hi, I'm looking to swindle you out of your life savings. That doesn't work. It's silly. So they befriend you and they try to make you think they're your best friend in the world and they're here to help you. And then you find out, like Madoff, that they've robbed you blind. That's what con artists do. Terrorists are robbers of a different sort. They want to rob us of our peace of mind, and they also want to rob us of our lives and of the lives of the people who are important to us. That's what terrorists do. So in order to do it, they have to maintain that low profile so they can function, travel around the country, conduct surveillance, hold their meetings, do what they got to do. And if it was made clear that we're talking about foreign nationals, then suddenly people would say, wait a minute, foreign nationals coming to our country to kill us? We need to tighten up the border. Oops, you got the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, folks, and what are they saying? Oh, no, we don't need no stinking borders. We need tourists. We need money. We need foreign students. We need foreign workers. Lie after lie after lie. And we've heard the lies. And, you know, during the Nazi regime, during the Third Reich, they developed a strategy of the big lie. You just tell a lie, and you tell the lie, and you tell the lie, and you repeat it again and again and again and again. And pretty soon, the average person starts to think, because they've heard it so frequently, that it must be the truth. If you get into an argument with so many people, the two most frequently cited sources that they have to verify their information, you know, you say to them, where did you get that from? Why do you have that belief? And these folks will look you right in the eye, and they're adults. And these could be people who actually went to college. I mean, maybe they paint their eyeballs on their eyelids and slept through class, but they went to college, they got a degree, they have serious jobs. And you say, how do you believe that? And you know what they say to you? I've heard. Now, if they don't say I've heard, the other favorite source that they quote is they say. They say comprehensive reform would be great for the economy. I've heard that there's a shortage of high-tech workers. They say, I've heard. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. If you look at the UN website and the World Bank website, they all predict that if we are stupid enough to pass comprehensive reform, forget about undermining national security, let's just look at it from an economic perspective. According to the United Nations, one of the fastest ways to increase the amount of money being wired out of our economy and sending it over to third world countries, often India and China, is to pass comprehensive reform. Can somebody explain to me how this is good for the American economy? We've heard it on all the networks. We've heard it on Fox. We've heard it on MSNBC and CNN and ABC. We always hear it. If they would only pass comprehensive reform, so much would be better, right? The sun would shine. The guys wouldn't need Viagra. Unbelievable. And you sit there saying, what on the earth are they talking about? We're going to give millions of aliens who snuck into our country in the dead of night identity documents without even an interview, forget about a field investigation. What could possibly go wrong? This doesn't make sense to anybody who's able to breathe. If you can fog a mirror, you have to know this is a stupid, bad idea to give ID to people without interviewing them, and they snuck into the United States. They evaded an inspections process, not unlike TSA, that's designed to keep out criminals and terrorists and spies and human rights violators and convicted felons and fugitives from justice and aliens with dangerous diseases or aliens who are so severely mentally ill that they pose a threat to people's safety. They're sex offenders or violent. Or aliens who are likely to become a public charge or would work illegally. There we go. I think we got cut off somehow. The wonders of technology. Let me just back up a little bit to make certain that that I don't miss anything that I was trying to say to you. How on earth does it make sense that when you look at all of the facts that have been presented wherever you dig, that bringing in foreign workers will displace American workers, permit aliens to come into the country who snuck in and evaded an inspections process designed to keep out aliens with dangerous communicable diseases, aliens who are mentally ill and violent or sex offenders, convicted felons, fugitives from justice, spies, terrorists, war criminals? What in the world are we thinking? And finally, this would also create a situation where you would bring in foreign workers who would likely undermine American workers, either take their jobs or drive down wages of Americans similarly employed. Why on earth would we allow that to happen or want that to happen? But meanwhile, you go to these programs all over the place, and what do we hear? If they would only pass comprehensive reform, the economy would do better. How would it do better? The UN has been very clear that if aliens are given lawful status, and we're talking about millions now, the amount of money wired out of the United States would skyrocket, and currently over $125 billion a year is being wired out of the United States. Can anybody explain how this would be good for the economy? This makes absolutely zero sense. It doesn't compute with reality. But the myth is out there, the statements are made, and most people, as I started saying before, who can only cite two sources to justify the things they say, I've heard and they say, you know, oh, I've heard this would be good for the economy because some guy on TV said so. And nobody ever challenges them. That's one of the most disturbing things that I have found. These folks sit there on the altar of the television studio and they just pontificate. Oh, we need comprehensive reform. If only we could get the Congress to act. If only they would stop this logjam. And there are some people who are very bright and they're very well-respected journalists. They're either foolish or they've been given a script to read or something. I don't understand how this is possible. But they make all these crazy statements, and nobody has any way of understanding how they can take the position that they take. It makes absolutely no sense. They don't have a clue as to the way that people are going to be processed, how the system can't handle the workload now. Nobody wants to talk about the 9/11 Commission. Recently, Senator Jeff Sessions has been hammering away at the 9/11 Commission. It's something that he and I discussed. And I told him, Senator, you need to go out there and you need to hammer the 9/11 Commission. My good friend Lou Barletta, the congressman from Pennsylvania, he approaches his colleagues. They don't want to hear about it. So he whips out the 9/11 Commission report, and suddenly they don't know what to say. I mean, this is an era that we live in that has me flabbergasted. And so then we keep hearing about the sleeper agents in the wake of what took place in Paris. You know, oh, they snuck into the country. They came back to Paris. They carried out the attacks. They're sleepers. And so now what we're hearing in the United States, and this has been going on for quite some time since 9/11, the use of the term homegrown, because in reality, most sleepers that we have confronted, all of the attackers who carried out attacks in 1993 at the CIA, the First Trade Center bombing, were foreign nationals. Every terrorist who participated in the attacks of 9/11 were foreign nationals. The Tsarnaev family, the Tsarnaev brothers, who carried out the terror attack in Boston, April 15th, last year, 2014, came here from Russia. Foreign nationals. Faisal Shahzad, the Times Square bomber, okay, came here at age 20. He's a foreign national, came from Pakistan, 20 years of age, roughly. Now, let's look at Faisal Shahzad, and I wrote about this in my article for Front Page Magazine. And this is astonishing to me. It's absolutely astonishing. My article for Front Page Magazine was sleeper cells, the immigration component of this threat. Now, understand the problem. Faisal Shahzad was a foreign national who came here when he was an adult. And yet, Ray Kelly, think about this one. Ray Kelly was the police commissioner at the time, referred to Faisal Shahzad as being a classic example of a homegrown terrorist. Yes, he naturalized eventually, as did one of the Tsarnaev brothers, but that's not homegrown. Homegrown implies that the guy was born in the United States. You know, what home are we talking about? The nursing home? You know, so they say homegrown. And there's probably a very good reason for them to say it, to throw us off the trail. Our own leaders, our own law enforcement people, our own government. Oh, those terrorists are homegrown. And if you dare try to talk about terrorists who engage in terrorism and come here from the Middle East or other countries, oh, Timothy McVeigh, he was born in the United States. And I say, okay, and what does that have to do with it? You know, it's remarkable. The IRS, or actually it was the ATF, I guess it was, went after Al Capone, the revenue officers. They got him for evading taxes. Here's a guy who committed murder and mayhem and extortion and God knows what criminal activities he was involved in. But the only thing they were able to ultimately hang their hat on was that he cheated on his taxes. So they put him away for that. If the goal is to protect America from terrorists, the great vast majority have come to the United States from other countries to attack us, then we really are talking about immigration. And you know what's so remarkable, folks? I've done congressional hearings where in the middle of the hearing I would make reference to terrorists and immigration and talk about how you prevent terrorists from entering the country or how you deny them the opportunity to embed themselves, hide in plain sight. And you'll have members of Congress say, oh, wait a minute, Mr. Cutler, immigration has nothing to do with terrorism. And you kind of sit there dumbfounded that a member of the United States Congress, I mean, we're only talking about 435 members of the House and another 100 in the Senate. This is, you know, the very tiny fraction. This is our leadership in Washington. And you think to yourself, is that person that ignorant or that big a liar? How on earth can you say with a straight face that immigration has nothing to do with terrorism? That's like saying that leaving your doors and windows open when you go away on vacation has nothing to do with the burglary that took place. Leaving your keys in your cars and the window rolled down had nothing to do with your car being stolen. Really? Does anybody believe this nonsense? So I wrote this article for Front Page Magazine, and I wanted to get into this whole issue, this whole notion about sleeper agents and about the misuse of language, identifying them as homegrown. And I went back to a whole bunch of articles I wrote, and I referenced this in my article. So I really would love for you guys to go to Front Page Magazine, read the article, and check out the links. You know, I always do that. It's kind of a multi-layered approach. I want you to have all the background. You know, some people say to me, oh, my God, you write these lengthy articles. I think this article that I wrote for Front Page Magazine runs something like 3,500 words. And most people say to me, oh, most people don't want to read more than 400 words. Folks, this is about becoming educated. There's no cliff note solution here. You need to understand the facts because the lies, the propaganda, this Orwellian nonsense that's being spewed routinely, the only way to get around it, the only way to fight back is to be armed with the facts. And it's going to take a little bit of lifting, a little bit of reading. Sit back and do some reading. I want to educate you so that you can confront politicians when they lie to you, so that you can have a reasonable conversation with your neighbor and maybe get some other people to understand what the betrayal is and why it's happening. Because they are undermining national security. They are undermining public safety. They are undermining the middle class. I am tired of watching TV programs in the morning or in the evening or on Sundays. And these geniuses on the set, well, so many jobs were created. And once in a while, some guy who has at least some integrity says, well, wait a minute, not all jobs are created equal. Most of the jobs being created are in the service industry and pay minimum wage. Well, that's just wonderful. Minimum wage jobs, and they're not talking about the jobs that were lost, were middle class jobs. So this helps to destroy the middle class. And then even people who have middle class jobs are facing competition from people from places like India who take those jobs for less money, putting downward pressure on income. That's why they made the point that in the last 5 years, middle-class wages have declined by between 4 and 5%. Expenses have not declined by 4 or 5%. Maybe petroleum did, but that's about it. Go buy a meal. Go buy food. Go buy clothing. Go buy a car. The prices have gone up. But wages have gone down. And this goes exactly with the advice of Alan Greenspan. He had testified for Chuck Schumer back on April 30th, 2009, referred to American skilled workers as the privileged elite who he claimed were earning this wage premium because they weren't being forced to compete with foreign workers for their jobs. So that's what happened. So you got Alan Greenspan making those statements, saying that they need to take care of that wage premium of these high-tech workers, the privileged elite, as he called us, the middle class. And that's exactly what's happening. It's exactly what's happening. So when you start to talk about sleeper agents and you want to be honest about it and say, well, wait a minute, a sleeper agent is a foreign national and somehow they had to come here, well, now you're hitting on immigration. So just like the politicians at those congressional hearings who went bananas when they said, oh, we're dealing with foreign nationals who came here to commit terrorism, so we've got to have immigration ramp up its efforts. Oh, no, immigration has nothing to do with terrorism. And if I would challenge them and say, I don't understand, they would just, you know, with a blank look, say, immigration has nothing to do with terrorism. Well, how does that work if they're foreign? Immigration has nothing to do with terrorism. Well, wait a minute, they're foreign nationals and they can't. Mr. Cutler, no, you don't understand. Immigration has nothing to do with terrorism. It's the big lie. No one said to me, it's not immigration because. They just dismissively wave their hand and say, immigration has nothing to do with terrorism. But congressman, congresswoman, you know, these people came here, they had Mr. Cutler, listen to me. Immigration has nothing to do with terrorism. And you sit there saying, I'm in the Twilight Zone. I'm in the Twilight Zone. How on earth can you look at a situation where aliens from another country enter the United States and carry out a terrorist attack because we were unsuccessful in preventing their entry, unsuccessful in detecting their presence, unsuccessful in stopping them from carrying out an attack, and then tell me that this isn't an immigration situation? And when you ask them how do they justify the statement, they wave the hand dismissively, like, you idiot, I am telling you, immigration has nothing to do with terrorism. Unbelievable. Walking around in a blizzard has nothing to do with frostbite. Do you believe that story? My God, it takes my breath away. But yet there are so many people that believe in this thing and will buy this nonsense. Will buy this nonsense. Totally crazy. Totally crazy. You know, you have Peter King who held a hearing, and this was a couple of years ago. This was March 21st, 2012. And what does he say? There was an article in the Huffington Post. Peter King, quote, Iran may have hundreds of Hezbollah agents in the United States. And he talked about sleeper agents. Some of them maybe came here on diplomatic visas. We admitted them. They entered the United States. And he talks more about it, and he held a hearing about it. But remember, if you believe the nonsense, immigration has nothing to do with terrorism. It's crazy. You can't say it with a straight face, but they do all the time. It's absolutely astonishing. And in fact, on December 21st, last year, CAPS published my article, and I have a link to it in my article for Front Page Magazine, and my article was Obama's Gift to International Terrorists, Immigration Executive Action. So, you know, you listen to the lies and the nonsense, and you say to yourself, what are we supposed to do with this? And then you get to the 9/11 Commission report. I know I've read this before on the air, but I'm going to read it again because I want you to think about this. 9/11 Commission staff report said, this is on page 47, once terrorists had entered the United States, their next challenge was to find a way to remain here. Their primary method was immigration fraud. For example, Yusuf and Ajaj concocted bogus political asylum stories when they arrived in the United States. Mahmoud Abu Alima, involved in both the World Trade Center and landmark plots, received temporary residence under the Seasonal Agriculture Worker Program, or SAW, after falsely claiming that he picked beans in Florida. And then we go to page 98, same report, 9/11 Commission staff report on terrorist travel. These were the agents and attorneys who worked for the 9/11 Commission. And so here they said, terrorists in the 1990s, as well as the September 11th hijackers, needed to find a way to stay in or embed themselves in the United States if their operational plans were to come to fruition. They needed to be sleepers. That's what they're saying here. As already discussed, this could be accomplished legally by marrying an American citizen, achieving temporary worker status. Think of the Dreamers and this new batch of executive action amnesty nonsense, right? Temporary worker status or applying for asylum after entering. Think about this guy Cancy, who shot up the CIA in 93. Think about Ramzi Youssef, who participated in the bombing of the Trade Center in 93. Think about the Tsarnaev brothers, okay? Applying for asylum after entering. In many cases, the act of filing for an immigration benefit sufficed, immigration benefit, to permit the alien to remain in the country until the petition was adjudicated. Terrorists were free to conduct surveillance, coordinate operations, obtain and receive funding, go to school and learn English, make contacts in the United States, acquire necessary materials, and execute an attack. But there are members of Congress that will look you square in the eye, not bat an eyelash, and say to you, immigration had nothing to do with terrorism. Don't confuse them with the facts. Folks, these people are delusional and they're dangerous because they're in positions of power and they won't listen to the facts and they won't allow you to have the facts if they can get away with it. It's absolutely mind-numbing. What can I say? 2005, I testified before a subcommittee hearing before the Immigration Subcommittee on Interior Immigration Enforcement Resources. I was asked to testify because they gave enough money to President Bush, who at the time was obviously in the Oval Office, and they said, here's enough money to hire 800 new ICE agents and 2,000 new Border Patrol agents, and for whatever reason, George W. said, I don't want 800 ICE agents, I just want 143, and I don't want 2,000 Border Patrol agents, I just want 210. It's both sides of the aisle. Not about left or right, but about right or wrong, ladies and gentlemen. Pardon me. So they asked me if I would testify at this hearing. Here's how my prepared testimony began. And you tell me if this isn't as relevant today, almost to the day, 10 years later. Here's how it began. A country without secure borders can no more stand than can a house without walls. The task of securing America's borders falls to the dedicated men and women of CBP and ICE. Of course, CBP is Customs and Border Protection, ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Pardon me. These law enforcement officers are often put in harm's way as they try to prevent aliens from gaining unauthorized entry into our country. They are not succeeding in this vital mission, as evidenced by the millions of illegal aliens who are currently living and working within our nation's borders today. This is not because of failings which the employees of ICE or CBP bear responsibility, but rather because our government has consistently failed to provide them with the resources that they need to make certain that this basic job gets done. The 9/11 Commission ultimately came to recognize the critical nature of immigration law enforcement where the war on terror is concerned. In fact, page 49 of the report entitled 9/11 and Terrorist Travel, a staff report on the National Commission on Terrorist Attacks Upon the United States, contains a sentence that reads, now here's a sentence, folks, thus abuse of the immigration system and a lack of interior immigration enforcement were unwittingly working together to support terrorist activity. And then you have members of Congress say, but wait a minute, immigration has nothing to do with terrorism. Unbelievable. I went on at that hearing and said, clearly the effective enforcement of the immigration laws from within the interior of the United States is critical for our nation to gain control of its borders and to protect its citizens from aliens who come to this country to engage in criminal activities and terrorism. Our nation's inability and apparent unwillingness to enforce the immigration laws has caused our nation to pay a heavy price. As we know, on September 11, 2001, terrorist attacks were launched from within our borders by aliens who exploited various weaknesses in the immigration system. The specter of terrorist attacks is not the only price to be paid for our failure to secure our borders. Illegal immigration impacts more aspects of this country than does any other issue. It impacts everything from education, the economy, healthcare, criminal justice, and national security. And in fact, it is estimated that some 30% of the federal inmate population is comprised of aliens. It is not unreasonable to say that more people lose their lives each year as a result of crimes committed by criminal aliens within our borders than were killed on that horrific day in September 2001. When he testified before the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence last month, FBI Director Robert Mueller testified that he was very concerned about the lack of data on a network of Al-Qaeda sleeper cells in the United States. He went on to say, and I quote, "Finding them is a top priority for the FBI, but it's also one of its most difficult challenges," unquote. And I went on and said, sleeper cells are not like cicadas. They do not simply slip into our country and then burrow into a hole for months or years, awaiting instructions to emerge to carry out a terrorist attack. Sleepers are, in fact, aliens who, upon entering our country, manage to hide in plain sight by finding a job, attending a school, or managing to hide in plain sight by doing those things that do not call attention to them. Someone once said that an effective spy is someone who could not attract the attention of a waitress at a greasy spoon diner, and the same could be said of an effective terrorist. It is therefore vital that we regain control of our borders and the entire immigration bureaucracy and the enforcement program if we are to protect our nation against terrorists and criminals, and this requires that we have an adequate number of law enforcement agents dedicated to this critical mission. There's another critical element to the interior enforcement of the immigration laws that's seldom discussed: the investigation of applications for immigration benefits to uncover fraud, which, according to a GAO report issued 3 years ago, is a pervasive problem within the immigration benefits program. A terrorist bent on attacking the United States would most want three things to attack our nation: money, a weapon of mass destruction, and a U.S. passport. The passport enables an alien to easily travel around our borders, across our borders rather, but also across the borders of other countries. And as we know, the 9/11 Commission found that the ability to travel freely and extensively was essential to the terrorists of 9/11 as they prepared to attack us. Aliens who succeed in acquiring resident alien status can more readily embed themselves in our country and ultimately attain U.S. citizenship, making them eligible for that highly coveted U.S. passport. Immigration fraud enables aliens to avail themselves of this opportunity through deception. 10 years ago. 10 years ago. And there are still members of Congress who will say to you, say to me, get on national TV, immigration has nothing to do with terrorism. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. We've got to push back, folks. We really have got to push back. I mean, this is a serious situation. They just killed a bunch of 13-year-old kids in the Middle East, I believe in Syria. ISIS. They shot these kids in an open field. Why? They watched a soccer game on television. This is a level of evil that this world hasn't seen since the Holocaust. Unbelievable. And we're being told, oh, the war is going well. Really? Really? You know, this just absolutely takes my breath away. And now we come to the article that I wrote for CAPS. And this is a very important article because it gets into the issue about what it is that we're getting when we spend money on materials. And the story that I wrote, the report that I wrote, was based on the fact that Tom Colburn, Coburn, rather, Tom Colburn, just retired from the U.S. Senate. He was the ranking Republican on the Senate Intelligence Committee. Homeland Security Committee. Forgive me, I'm trying to find my notes here. And Coburn, on his way out the door, had a study done about the effectiveness of the money being spent at DHS. They've spent something on the order of $50 billion in 11 years, and a lot of it was just squandered and yielded no results. According to Coburn's report, only 3 out of every 100 aliens who are identified and located by immigration are ever physically deported. 3%. 97% skate. I mean, that's a failure level. If it was reversed, I'd wonder what we're doing wrong that we're losing 3%. Here we're losing 97%. What is the money being spent on? They looked at the drones, and they're spending gazillions of dollars on drones. And even there, immigration lied about what it costs to run a drone. You know, they said it was like $2,000, and it was like 3 times as much. They ignored the cost of the salaries of the agents who are required to run the program. So it was a partial cost analysis. And I remember I was on with Neil Cavuto a couple of years ago, and Neil said to me, you know, Mike, the Border Patrol is arresting fewer illegal aliens. That means there's fewer coming in. So it means there are fewer illegal aliens in the country. And I said, Neil, that's not a good way of figuring out who's here. Trying to figure out how many illegal aliens are present in the United States based on arrest statistics, and I certainly don't trust any statistics that comes out of this administration. I mean, the numbers are worthless and meaningless. But even if those were accurate numbers, that's like taking attendance by asking people not present to raise their hand. I mean, think about it. Makes no sense. And Neil said, well, but at least we got the drones. And I said, what do you think the drones can do? Drones can't make arrests, and drones can't land and back up an agent who's being attacked. If you have an agent being attacked and he looks up and sees a drone overhead, that's not the cavalry, folks. That's not the cavalry. I was on a radio show earlier today, Bobby Gunther Walsh's program, and he made a good analogy, and he was right. If you remember that unarmed police officer who was killed in Paris by the terrorists, there was a journalist up on a rooftop, either with a cell phone or some kind of a camera, shooting video of this poor unarmed cop who gets shot in the back, falls down, raises his hands, begging for mercy, and one of these two cold-blooded pieces of trash goes up to the guy and caps him. Boom, blows him away. The guy had no gun, posed no threat to this guy. It was a cold-blooded assassination on a Paris street. Boom, kills him. And all that the guy with the camera could do was recorded on film. He couldn't defend the guy. If that was a gun with a telescopic sight, he could have taken out the bad guy. We don't put armed drones on the border, and that's fine. We don't need to. We don't need to. Those drones are costly. They're a waste of money. What we need, and I said this to Neil, and I've heard from people in at DHS afterwards on the inside, we need manned helicopters. I was told you can get several helicopters with agents on board for the cost of one drone. Perhaps 4 was the number, I believe, that I was quoted. So why on earth would you put up an unmanned drone that can't land, can't make arrests, and can't back up an agent in trouble? Just take great pictures of the murder scene if, God forbid, some harm comes to an agent. That's a question that politicians need to be made to answer because they're looking to buy more drones, not helicopters or fixed-wing aircraft. And the auditors who did that report said, we don't need drones. We need manned helicopters and aircraft. And I got to tell you, it was vindication because I knew I was right. But that probably won't stop the government. In fact, I think that statement that this costs an awful lot of money and is ineffective will maybe cause them to buy more drones. Now, you may be wondering at my sanity. If they're saying that the drones don't work and they're worthless and ineffective, why would you buy more? There's an answer. But you have to have my level of cynicism or perhaps my twisted brain, folks. Do you know why that will cause them to buy more drones, in my view? Because the mission is not to secure the border. The mission is to make it look as though we're doing it by spending as much money as possible and making damn sure that nothing happens to interrupt the flow of criminals and God knows drugs and all other garbage coming into our country. Because if you were looking to secure the border, this is not the way to do it. And this has been going on for how many years now? How many years? Senator Feinstein said, you know, we got to look at that visa waiver program. I wrote about it. I've been screaming about the visa waiver program since day one. The visa waiver program is a creation of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. They have partnered with the hotel, hospitality, travel industries, and they've pumped, you know, God knows how many millions, maybe billions of dollars into campaign contributions, which are little more than legalized bribes. In fact, they are legalized bribes. Let's stop pussyfooting around. They've created this Discover America partnership, and they're getting what they want. On 9/11, we had 26 visa waiver countries. A year ago, this coming March, we have 38 visa waiver countries, Chile being the last one to join the club. Why do we even have a visa waiver program, let alone why are we expanding it? Now you hear people talking about how, gee whiz, these terrorists have British passports and French passports, European passports. They can come to America without a visa. That's dangerous. No kidding. I've been saying this for the longest time. But yet it keeps expanding because of the Discover America partnership, and this is exactly what the U.S. Chamber of Commerce wants. So as I've said when I've done public speaking engagements around the United States, isn't it reassuring to know that people responsible for room service are making national security decisions for the United States? It's mind-boggling. But it's obviously being done for one reason, to give the illusion that the job is being done by making certain that nothing happens to change the equation, so that that flood of foreign students, foreign workers, and so forth, continues unabated, foreign tourists. We have over a million foreign students in the United States. On the one hand, we say our policy is nuclear non-proliferation. And then what do? We teach students from the Middle East, including Iran. Think about Iran and their nuclear program. We have their students in the United States right now studying engineering and nuclear physics. What could possibly go wrong? The lunacy is startling. And it goes on this way because the universities want the students. The Chamber of Commerce wants what they want. Everyone's getting what they want except national security and except secure jobs, decent jobs for American workers. It's astonishing. It takes my breath away. And if you raise the issue, and this is both sides of the aisle, Democrats and Republicans alike will glare at you. They're furious. You have Feinstein saying, oh, well, we have to take another look at the visa waiver program. We have to take another look? 9/11 happened 13-plus years ago. What are you looking at? Look at what? You know, if this was the Second World War, we would have lost it with people like Feinstein. I'm so thrilled she's finally looking at the 9/11 Commission, and she's finally looking at the visa waiver program. We don't need looking. We need action. They need to stop the damn program. But that's not going to happen. So she gets to get up there, and she gets that moment before the cameras. I guess she thought she was Chuck Schumer for the moment. And says, oh, we need to re-examine that dangerous visa waiver. How about we need to end it? It's not going to happen. Because you don't want to get those folks at the Chamber of Commerce, the Chamber of Horrors, upset with you. So we'll look at it. What are you looking at? The fact that you've removed an important layer of security? You know, it's remarkable. They passed a law that says if you commit visa fraud, if you lie on that application, just to come to America, maybe you're looking for a job, that crime is a 10-year felony. If you commit visa fraud because it can be shown that you came to America with the intention of committing a crime, maybe you're going to rob a bank or pull off a kidnapping, whatever. Go to Las Vegas and swindle somebody at the craps table. Well, now you're looking at a 15-year felony. If the felony that you came to commit involves narcotics, we're up to 20 years in jail. If you came here committing visa fraud to carry out a terrorist attack, the penalty is now 25 years in jail. That's serious, 25 years in jail, because you lied on an application for a visa so you could come here and become a terrorist. Serious, 25 years in jail, heavy duty. Guess what? If you come here under the visa waiver program, all of that goes out the window. It doesn't apply because there's no visa application. It's a joke. It's a joke. And the joke is on us. And my big fear, folks, is that at some point there'll be another attack. At some point, people who are among us today won't be among us after it happens. And then these bozos will get in front of the cameras, and they'll thump the podium and thump their chests and shake their fist and look into the camera with that studied look of rage. Oh, nobody connected the dots. The dots have been connected again and again and again. And I guarantee you, and I really want to be wrong, God forbid there's another terrorist attack. They'll be up there with the chutzpah, with the brass balls to say, oh, they didn't connect the dots. How could we have known? If only we had known. You know, the clock is ticking. Time's not on our side. You have politicians who are now proposing legislation. And this is another remarkable piece of work. They're looking at a new bill. And what is the bill they're looking at? It's the Secure Our Border First bill. Secure it first? There was an article about how Border Patrol agents and ICE agents are in a state of rage over this bill. Secure our borders first. When I hear something like that, I got to tell you, my blood runs cold. What do you mean secure it first? Because you know what second is, folks? Second is give all these illegal aliens lawful status and identity documents. Never mind they snuck in. Never mind we don't know who they are. Never mind that there are undoubtedly sleepers among them. We can't deport them all, so we may as well give them a pathway to citizenship. It's crazy. It's absolute lunacy. It's delusional. The title of the bill should have been Secure Our Border, period. The Secure the American Border Bill has a nice sound to it. Not secure it first, so then we can go ahead and stab every American in the back by giving millions of people identity documents without it being able to verify their identity. That's really what the name of that bill is. Secure our borders first, because we all know what this immigration two-step is. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Nobody in their rational mind would get on board an airplane if they saw people sneak past the TSA. Wouldn't happen. They'd say, what, are you kidding? That guy with the backpack snuck past TSA. We don't know what's in the backpack. Uh-uh, I'm not getting on the airplane. And that would be a justifiable fear. So today we are living among millions of foreign nationals who snuck into the country, undocumented. I mean, unbelievable. I've made this point before, but it's worth repeating again. Yeah, the term undocumented should scare the hell out of you also. It means that these folks either don't have or don't want you to see official identity documents, perhaps because they know that their true names are on every terror watch list in the world. Maybe they're fugitives because they've committed some heinous crimes. So, yeah, undocumented is no good deal. But the big issue here also, or just as big, is that they are uninspected. When I was an immigration agent, an alien who ran the border got three-letter definition, or three-letter description, EWI, entry without inspection. That's serious business. It's like breaking and entering. And Chuck Schumer, gotta love this guy, he's the architect of comprehensive reform. He really is. He's the band leader. He was also the guy behind the agricultural provisions of the amnesty of 86. And I tried to meet with him, and it was worthless. It was easier to talk to a fire plug than Chuck. And he was my congressman back then, not my representative, obviously. So Chuck has said, because of the problem with trespassing in New York City, this is within the last month or two, you know why people trespassed on the Brooklyn Bridge, the Manhattan Bridge, and the Trade Center? Because the penalties aren't severe enough. It's a maximum of a year in jail for trespassing, and the most they get is 3 months in jail, so this does not deter them. And they might be up to no good, you just don't know. So some guy climbs a cable on the Brooklyn Bridge, not afraid of height, I'm going to guess, so he can get an artsy photograph of the skyline. And it's a beautiful vantage point, by the way. I'm certainly not recommending anybody climb the cable. It is dangerous. But they go up there, they climb the cable, they take their picture. And so Schumer says, oh, that guy needs to go to jail. And for 5 years. 5 years in jail for taking a picture on a cable? 5 years. Boy, no one's ever going to accuse Chuck of being soft on crime until you trespass on America. And then he says with a straight face, oh, we should give you a pathway to citizenship. Unbelievable. Every year we spend over $3 billion, with a B, $3 billion inspecting passengers and cargo seeking to enter the United States. I have a very fundamental question. Maybe I'm a simpleton. Why on earth do we bother spending that much money and employ over 20,000 people to carry out those inspections if Chuck Schumer and Obama and a bunch of Republicans, it's both sides of the aisle, are saying, well, it doesn't matter if you run the border. It's cool. We're okay with it. We'll keep you here. We'll let you work. We'll let you send money home. We can't deport you, so we may as well make you comfortable. Would you like a guest room? What would you like for dinner? How about an education? Unreal. There is absolutely no reason to have an inspections process at ports of entry if we are unwilling to punish those people who sneak around the process. Imagine you're on the Jersey Turnpike heading for Washington. Today, when you take that drive, and I've taken it frequently, you have two lanes. You can go through the cash lane if you don't have an easy pass. They give you a ticket, and when you get to your destination, depending on how many exits you've gone, they charge you appropriately. So they give you a little IBM punch card ticket or whatever it is, and they tell you, okay, you owe us $8, $5, $3, whatever the deal is. And then there's an express lane. And it you can slow down to like 50 miles an hour or 55 miles an hour, and it reads the transponder, your easy pass in the windshield. So you don't have to drive, you don't have to slow down and stop. You can just kind of cruise through and bango, and they automatically bill you for the privilege of having driven on the highway. So you got a choice, easy pass or cash. Imagine if there was a third lane that said express lane, free, no speed limit. Who in their right mind would bother going through either cash or easy pass? In fact, I could argue that anybody who went through cash or easy pass is demonstrating mental illness, mental deficiency, unable to think straight. If you give people an option where you can take choice C, which is free, no speed limit, you'd have to be nuts not to take that option. When you tell millions of people, oh, the fact that you evaded that very costly inspections process doesn't matter one bit, then we need to scrap the inspections process. Now, the scary thing is, I'm almost afraid to say it, because our friends at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce would probably go crazy and say, Cutler's got a great idea. Let's give them more money, more bribes, so we can get more members of Congress. Maybe we can get rid of those pesky inspectors at ports of entry and just have a free-for-all. Free-for-all. But there's nothing free in this free-for-all. We're in big trouble because you have idiots and crooks in too many positions of authority in the United States. You have a lot of people in this country who don't give a damn about their fellow Americans, and when Americans die as a consequence of what they're doing, they look at it as collateral damage. Oh, well, no one lives forever. Oh, well, not everybody can be successful. But if we can bring in foreign workers to replace Americans, that's great, because that means there's more money for me. Except they're being short-sighted, because the consumers of America tend to be the middle class. It was the middle class that was dumb enough to go out and buy the pet rock, those of you old enough to remember it. And I want to know what that says for someone's intellect, that you're willing to go out there and buy a rock in a box. But it got worse. Because a year later, they made even more money by peddling the training manual for the pet rock. The wealthy wouldn't buy that because they're tight-fisted for the most part, which is why they're wealthy. It's the poor schmuck, the middle-class guy, who's dopey enough to fall for that nonsense. So what's happening? Atlantic City is going bankrupt. What's happening? Consumer spending is down. Why is it down? It's down because the middle class is going the way of the dodo bird. They are being engineered into oblivion It's a topic that I also wrote for Front Page Magazine. And the article that I have coming out for The Social Contract will also address the damage being done to America's most important resource, its own citizens. This country is eating its children. It's eating its own. This is a cannibalistic country, and we are devouring our own citizens. The wealthy are feasting on our citizens. That's really what's happening. And they're getting away with it because too many Americans are sitting out the dance, ignoring what should be obvious to everybody, that this is no longer a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. The people with the money, the special interest groups with the money, the corporations with the money, they're getting what they want. Short term, they will do quite well. Long term, their prospects aren't any better than anybody else's. They're just too greedy and, quite frankly, stupid to understand the damage that they're doing. They are just so hell-bent on how fast can I get money right now that they're not thinking about the long-term consequences. Our job, folks, is to give them cause for pause. Our job is to reach out to these elected representatives and tell them that we know we're on to them. But the first step in doing that is to educate yourself. That's why I spend all this time and effort writing what I write and going on the TV shows, and that's why I have this radio program. That's why I write for CapsWeb.org and Front Page Mag and The Social Contract and Progressives for Immigration Reform. It's not because I don't have anything better to do with my time. It's because I have children, I have a granddaughter, I look at them and I'm thinking, well, what's their future going to be like when we really turn this country into a hellhole? You know, we're pretty close right now to having to change the slogan from E Pluribus Unum to Abandon All Hope, All Ye Who Enter Here. I have no problem with people making a profit. I do have a problem when that profit comes at the cost of lives and the future of our citizens and our children. The accusations fly fast and furious about being compassionate, and I agree with compassion, but I believe that as an American, compassion must start with our own families and our own children. Before I feed a child overseas who's starving, I'll be honest with you, I'd rather feed an American child. And if you look at the plight of American children, and in particular, black and Latino American children, their poverty rate is astronomical. Across the board, 1 in 4 kids now lives below the poverty line. This is not the America that I grew up in as a kid. This is a perversion of what America was, and it's got to stop. We've got to learn how to stand up to these bullies. When they say we're anti-immigrant, we need to push back. It is not anti-immigrant to say enforce the law. I want you to think about something. The abortion debate is highly contentious. But the two warring sides are identified as pro-choice and pro-life because everybody knows that once you're identified as anti-anything, you're done. You're finished. Stick a fork in you. Nobody wants to be anti. The other side was very shrewd. They said, oh, we're pro-immigrant, and they are anti-immigrant, and we are a nation of immigrants. So to provide a bit of clarity, the difference between an immigrant and an illegal alien is comparable to the difference between a house guest and a burglar. To provide a bit of clarity, it is not anti-immigrant to be pro-enforcement, which is what we are. We are pro-enforcement. Repeat after me, pro-enforcement. Not anti-immigrant, pro-enforcement. In fact, if you're pro-enforcement, you can't be anti-immigrant, and I'm going to tell you why. The same laws that tell us who to kick out and who to keep out, and as I enumerated the categories before, it's about aliens who basically pose a threat to our well-being, safety, health, and so forth. The same laws that tell us who to keep out and who to kick out also tell us who to let in. It's under those very same laws that we admit roughly 1 million lawful immigrants every year, more than the rest of the world combined, under the law. When you say lawfully admitted, you're referencing the laws that we support. So think about how stupid this is. This is a no-brainer, folks. You could be as dumb as a box of rocks and still get this one. If you are pro-enforcement of the laws that exist, those laws also allow for the admission of roughly 1 million lawful immigrants every year. So by definition, it is a pro-immigrant position. And to further bolster it, it's under those laws that we naturalize hundreds of thousands of new citizens every year. It's under those laws that we grant political asylum. It's under those laws that we admit foreign workers and foreign students and tourists, tens of millions of tourists every year, under the laws that I support. So how in the world is it anti-immigrant to support the very same laws under which aliens legally immigrate? It's lie after lie. Don't you dare use the word alien unless it's in the Dreamers, because the A in Dreamers is alien minors. The term alien simply means any person not a citizen or national of the United States. There's no insult there, but there is clarity. There is clarity. And what bothers people who are con artists is that with clarity, they're not able to get away with their chicanery. If you know what's going on, then you know how to protect yourself. So the purpose of the government these days is to give us the mushroom treatment. Keep us in the dark and feed us a lot of manure. And we're seeing it. And we are seeing it. So understand just how bad it is. There's a war going on. And it's a war of people who want us. And our government is sitting there saying, well, you know, immigration has nothing to do with terrorism. Never mind the 9/11 Commission report. Never mind the 9/11 Commission staff report. Never mind common sense. Never mind the empirical evidence. Never mind anything, because these people see gold in them thar hills. And that's why we have a problem. And you have lots of people in Congress who are immigration lawyers, both sides of the aisle. And when an immigration lawyer sees an alien running the border, do you know what that politician sees, the one that's the immigration lawyer? They don't see illegal aliens, folks. They see clients. Have you ever known an attorney who felt that he or she had too many clients? Give me a break. They're thrilled, because if the aliens come here, their clients are coming here. We're being taken to the cleaners, and more than our money is on the line. It's our lives, it's our freedom, it's our way of life. It's what should be the birthright for our children and for their children. And we need to defend them. We are Americans. We are Americans. I don't care about race, religion, ethnicity. I don't care if you're a Democrat or a Republican. I don't care if you're an independent or a libertarian. We're Americans. We're entitled to disagree with each other. And disagreement doesn't make us enemies. It makes us practitioners of the First Amendment. The other side doesn't want that discussion. The open borders crowd, and I don't care if they're Democrats or Republicans. Nancy Pelosi and Trent Lott were opposed to talk radio. Isn't that remarkable? Polar opposites, purportedly, in the world of politics, came to the same conclusion that talk radio was dangerous. Do you know why? Because it was an opportunity for Americans to share their ideas. Share their ideas. It's Orwellian what they want, to shut down discussion, to shut down cooperation, to shut down thought. That was the whole point to Newspeak in Orwell's 1984. If you could eliminate the words, you could eliminate the thoughts. Zucker, that accountant who talked about the dumb Americans, or was it Zuckerberg or whatever the heck the guy's name was, made that statement, you know. I'm sorry, Gruber, not Zucker. Gruber made the statement about the dumb Americans. That was a statement of optimism. You know, there's a joke. I'll leave you with a bit of twisted humor. There is a joke that says the difference between the optimist and the pessimist is that the pessimist says that most women are bad, and the optimist hopes they are. Follow along. But here we have a twist on that. Here, the difference between the optimist and the swindler, or the pessimist and the swindler, is that the pessimist says that most Americans are dummies, and the swindler hopes that they are. Because if we're dumb enough, it's easier to swindle us. And Gruber is all about swindling us. The people that he worked for in the administration are all about swindling us. Now, his focus was Obamacare. I'm going to tell you, Obamacare is a pimple on the rear end of an elephant compared to immigration in terms of the impact on this country. That's why I dedicate so many of my programs to this issue about immigration in its many facets to try to get you folks out there to understand the true issues. It's hard for me to believe it, but I've been involved with this issue for over 43 years, which accounts for all that gray hair and my growing bald spot that my wife calls my pink yarmulke because I'm a Jew from Brooklyn. We've got to get serious, folks. Congress is looking to enact comprehensive reform. If they do it, the damage will be irrevocable. Giving millions of people identity documents without a face-to-face interview, dumping millions of foreign workers into a labor pool that can't find adequate work, and make foreign workers as equal and entitled to a job as an American would be catastrophic. The remittances would go up. That's another problem. They'd bring many more people into the school system and the health care system. We would inundate ourselves. This is a very dangerous program. You know, think about the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and how they keep on cramming more people and more people and more people onto airplanes. You know, if they could, they'd have people sitting in people's laps. They don't care about comfort. They don't care about safety. They don't care about anything. They care about money, and they want it. They want it from you and me and everybody else. We have to stand up to the nonsense. Serious times require serious people. It's time that we all got serious. You know, it's always a delight to join you at the end of the week. I'm happy you were able to join me tonight. Sorry we had that glitch somewhere in the middle of this program. Hopefully you're getting the rest of this as I speak to you. But I do thank you for joining me. Please go to capsweb.org. That website is really terrific. You know, make it part of your routine a couple times a week. Check it out. See what's there. They've been sponsoring commercials. They recently did one about the nexus between immigration and jobs in conjunction with Martin Luther King's birthday and the impact this is having on America's black community. Great resource. Front Page Magazine, David Horowitz Freedom Center, another great resource. Progressives for Immigration Reform, they need your support. Forget about left and right, folks. Align yourself with the people who are looking out for the best interests of America and American citizens of every walk of life, every ethnicity, every race, every religion. We're in this together. We're Americans. We're Americans. Also, the social contract coming out. These are all great resources. And if you go to my website, michaelcutler.net, you'll be able to see most of my articles posted there. And if you become aware of opportunities for speaking events, I love doing those. In fact, I'm going to be heading out to Palm Springs, California, in February next month. Looking forward to that trip, getting ready for it. So, that's it. You know, I want you to be as educated as you can, denounce and renounce the mushroom treatment we're getting from the mainstream media and our alleged political representatives. I want you to educate yourselves. Then I want you to go out there and have these conversations with your neighbors. When we were kids, we were told, oh, you shouldn't be discussing politics or religion at parties in polite company. Religion, I agree. Whether or not you have a relationship with God, that's between you and God. Whatever that relationship is, that's as personal as it gets, and that's fine. We don't need to be out there talking about that. But politics, folks, we need to talk about politics. We need to be the Mythbusters. We need to get away from the I've heard and they say sources of information which are less than worthless. This is about education, and it's about involvement. And as you know, I always like to end my programs by reminding you that democracy is not a spectator sport. Look forward to joining all of you again next week at the same time, right here on the Michael Cutler Hour. Meanwhile, have a great weekend, everybody. Good night.